Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Woo! Send it! Send it!
Jimmy, I'm trying my tough guy voice.
Is that what that is?
Yes, I'm doing my best here. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send wretched stuff. It's a sermon. It's an article. It's wretched. Please send it to idea@wretched.org. If you like to communicate with your thumbs, and who of us doesn't, then text away at 877-282-2337. Although, Jimmy, Texas, I think, just signed some legislation. They did the Ten Commandments in the school business. But then they also, the kids can't have their cell phones during the day. I think, you know, they've got some rule. You know, you can, if it's this or that, you can use it. But otherwise, they're taking them away from the kids so the kids can actually do, you know, school and not be distracted. I say amen to that. Now, if we could just have some legislation that basically takes them away from all of us forever.
That would be
good. That would be a good law. 877-282-2337.
All right. The theme of today's show is anonymous. Most all of our questions are from anonymous.
Brilliant. That's the best we've got.
That's right. This first one from anonymous. Todd, what is the biblical way for a young single woman to respond to older guys who flirt with her when she's out and about alone? Unfortunately, this is a repeated experience with different individuals. I dress modestly, speak kindly to everyone, but how do I communicate that that behavior is not okay? I don't have a husband to look out for me.
I know there's some good guys out there. I know that. But I also know that most guys are dogs, honestly, with their eyes. I see it. I see guys, their eyes dart down on women. Guys, you're not fooling anybody, you know, especially women. And I hear from women who say that this is just such a regular, they just feel like they're getting dressed down by strangers in public. And even just as Ms. Anonymous said, they're not dressing in a provocative way. What can you say something? Well, let's keep yourself safe. Let's start there. So consider, if you say anything, will you be safe? But then I think if you want to, you can say some lines. My eyes are up here. Hey, you know what? We're not married. So if you don't mind not looking at me, like whatever it is that you concoct, maybe come up with a line or two. Google it. I'll bet people have got stuff like this on the internet. Jimmy, go to the AI machine and let's go to the source of all current wisdom, AI, and ask the question, what can a young woman say who is being ogled by a strange man to get him to stop without getting, you know, in putting yourself in danger? Let's see what AI says. If we come up with something good, use it. If not, come up with your own thing. But I think you can feel free to use that. And it's a tragedy. What an era we live in. Don't we think we've advanced so much? Look at how progressed we are. We got cell phones, man. We got telecommunication. I can watch MMF fighting on my phone. It's amazing. And we've become so low and so base and so not gentlemanly and so not ladylike. We have not progressed in that regard. We've devolved. So I'm sorry for that, ladies. Just stay safe. And remember this, if you're dressing appropriately, you're not sinning, okay? And I'm sorry, I can only imagine that it would make you just feel like, is that what guys think about me? Don't let that in. Don't let guys diminish your value in God's eyes. Don't let guys rob you of having joy. And don't feel guilty if you're not being flesh. If there are a lot of women these days. Oh, I just saw this little girl. She must have been 12. Oh, I know. I went to the mall. I was picking up a birthday gift for Mrs. Friel. And I'm in my car and I watch this family get out. It's the dad and like an 18-year-old daughter and the 12-year-old daughter. It's like, excuse me, dude. That's a little girl. That's your little girl. It's the men that I want to get on. And the women will dress in such provocative ways. I don't know what's going on in their heart, but they have to know that they are provoking guys to look at them. And if you're not dressing that way to provoke, it's not your sin. It's their sin. Maybe a good response, maybe, would be to pray for them. That might be the best way, and it might help your heart the most. In fact, the sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday. Jimmy, I think the preacher absolutely nailed it.
Oh, he did?
Oh, absolutely. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is in the garden. He's getting pressed in the olive garden. It's the olive press. That's what Gethsemane means, olive press. Very fitting, very vivid. Jesus is getting pressed. And he's feeling the wrath of God beginning to bear down on him. And he talks about being grieved, no, deeply grieved, no, horrifyingly grieved. And what is his response? He prays. And then he goes and finds the disciples, not mad at them, just, guys, please wake up. Could you pray and watch? I'm really, 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 really feeling the weight of the sins of the world on me right now. Could you stay up? What does he do? He goes back and prays. Comes back, they're sleeping, goes back and prays. Comes back, they're sleeping. And notice his response is not to be angry. He talks about their flesh being weak. Their spirit is willing, their flesh weak. Those are very gentle words. He should have said, what is the matter with you guys? Seriously. And it's Passover. Is this too hard for you boys? I've told you, I'm bearing the weight of the world on my shoulder. I'm taking the sins of everybody who repents and believes in me. Couldn't you stay up, friends? Didn't do that. Kind of sympathized with them. Your spirit's willing, your flesh is weak. In other words, we saw our sympathetic high priest in action, but we saw something else in action because after the third time he finds them sleeping, immediately says, but here they come, let's go. And Judas then enters the stage. How could Jesus, in the very beginning of this short section, have been so agitated, a deep soul terror, sort of anxiousness? Not sinful, but recognizing the weight, the olive press that was going to weigh down on him, to being that kind and calm. What's there in that text? What did he do to be that calm? He prayed. So when the next time that you're confronted with something difficult or you're afraid or you're feeling anxious, pray. Go to the Lord in prayer. Cast your cares on him. He wants to hear from you. You can't do this in your own strength. You need his. And so the admonition to the disciples, watch and pray, it applies to us today. Be watchful. Be on the lookout for dangers, but be prayerful. Don't do this by yourself. You don't have the strength to do it. And if you're perpetually anxious, I wonder if maybe prayer might just be your remedy. And young lady, maybe that's the best thing you can do for those guys who are acting like dogs. Jimmy, you come up with any good things from AI?
Not really. No, I mean, I noticed you staring. Please stop.
Okay. Nothing brilliant.
But I like your idea about praying for them. And I think I would incorporate that actually into what I said to them. Sir, I see you struggling with lust. Can I pray with you?
Oh, wow.
That would probably be a little more.
That's a little bit, but watch them run.
That's right.
If you got guys that are trying to approach you in ways you don't appreciate, hey, I noticed your eyes are really looking lustfully. You know, that's a sin. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, hello, wait, sir, I didn't finish the sermon on the 877-282-2337, whether you are anonymous or not.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, what is considered to be above reproach and the husband of one wife?
They're two different things. The husband of one wife is that you're a one-woman man. You're faithful to your spouse. I'm just going to stay away from all of the different complexities to that question. You are faithful to your spouse. You're not a dog. Your eyes don't wander. You honor her. You cherish her. You love her the way that Jesus loved the church. The being above reproach thing, that's the scariest. That is, it's a laundry list of qualifications for an elder. To me, that's like sort of the overarching one that encompasses all of them, but it's also the scariest one. That there's nothing about your character, there's nothing about your behavior that could cause the world to not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, it has to be a valid accusation. But if they can point to something and go, yeah, right, then you're not above reproach. Yikes. Now, does that mean that a pastor can't make a mistake and repent? And no, he can do all of that. But the qualification for an elder is that he is one who cannot be accused of anything valid that would undermine his testimony and his message. And all pastors said, gulp. This is Wretched Radio.
Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move his truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind. And that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name. It's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy.
Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You come a long way, baby. Or have you? This is Wretched Radio. I get it. There were some adjustments that needed to be made in Victorian England regarding women. I get it, but it was also an era that recognized men can be dogs and shouldn't be. They should comport themselves as gentlemen. And women were looked at as, I'm sorry, the weaker vessel, because last time I checked, with a very few exceptions, you're the weaker vessel. And that wasn't derogatory. It was just simply understood. So men stood up for women to honor them. They pulled their chairs out to seat them, to slide the chair in. They would open the door for them, and they wouldn't ogle them like they were at a meat market, because it was understood that is not the way a gentleman acts. But thank you, first, second, and third wave feminism. You got what you wanted. Liberal sexuality. And now women are... There are probably very few women who cannot remember being ogled at. I bet there's none that can't say, yeah, I catch guys looking. That's what they're doing. Now, I know that they could do that in Victorian times. I get that. But what I'm saying is we used to esteem women higher than we do today. And I put that squarely in the lap of the feminist movement. You come a long way, baby. Congratulations. Some good things happened from it. But along the way, I think the lead was lost. Things like being able to go to school. Well, that to us, of course, it just seems like, are you kidding me? Of course women should be able to go to school. That's actually quite ridiculous as you look back on it. But along the way, women, in an effort to be just like men, I think they forfeited something. And I think one of the things that they forfeited was gentlemen treating them like ladies. Not sure in all regards. You've come a long way, baby. 877-282-2337.
Let's stay in that realm. Another question from Anonymous. Todd, are sexually immoral thoughts enough to disqualify you? For example, say you're at the pool and you notice a woman not dressed very appropriately, and you have an immoral thought at that point, and you're in a position of leadership. Did you just disqualify yourself?
No, if that's it. if that's like, okay, it was 3 weeks ago on Wednesday, I was at the public pool and I looked with lust. No, that can help it happen. It's been that situation where it's even, if you will, provoked, although it's fully your responsibility. No, that's not. Christians still sin and pastors still sin. But 1 John 3:8-9, if I'm not mistaken, if you continue in sin, you're of the devil. Devils are not qualified to be elders. So if we're doing the math, if you keep on sinning, if you're plotting it, you're planning it, you're strategizing it, you're carrying it out, then you should step back from being an elder. Here's a test for you to know your heart. Here it comes. Don't go to the pool anymore. There you go. How did you respond to that? If your response was, okay, not a problem. You're right. Good thought, Friel. Finally, I'm not going to go to a place where women dress like that. What was I thinking? I would say, carry on, elder. If on the other hand, it's February, you're on the internet at the park and rec to try to figure, when is the pool going to open? I sure hope that I get that one chair where I can see them coming down the slide, because I really dig that. And I'm going to get myself an annual pass early and save $20. Then I'd say, you better talk to somebody about it, because that is not the heart, not only of an elder, frankly, but of a Christian. Christian sin, but we don't carry on in a lifestyle of unrepentant sin. 877-282-2337.
Guess who this one's from?
I'm going to go with Anonymous.
No, it's from Tina.
Stop it. You so set me up.
This is from Tina. I was baptized by pouring nearly 10 years ago after being born again. I've learned a lot since then, and given the choice 10 years ago, knowing what I know now, I would have chosen to be immersed. but I'm not convicted to be baptized again. But the church we've been attending for a while now, which is a good and solid church, requires all to be baptized by immersion to become a member.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Okay, I understand their heart. I get that. But I don't think that immersion is a conviction that disqualifies. I don't think that we can be so firm in that. I see that as being right. We've done a study on baptism here. The word itself means to immerse. So I mean, I just don't know how much more clear that it could be. So the pouring and the sprinkling, I would say, aren't biblical, but I don't think that means the baptism was invalid, nor do I think it should be something that would disqualify somebody from being a member, certainly not at Alpha or at a Bible church, because you didn't know at the point, especially when somebody comes along and says, look, if I had known I wouldn't have done it, I would have been immersed. Okay, cool. Carry on. You can't make a law where there is no law. So I'm not sure how you're going to work it out with them, because chances are they're firm in their convictions. I get that. But if they're not going to let you in, then you probably have to find a church where they wouldn't see that as being a disqualifying form or mode of baptism. Jimmy, you got anything else to add to that?
Now, I wouldn't look at it as them disqualifying your previous baptism, but I would look at
disqualified as membership for membership.
No, but what I'm saying is not saying that their previous baptism wasn't valid. I wouldn't look at the church telling them that, but looking at it as saying this is the mode of membership.
Yeah, it seems to me what we just heard presented is if you don't do baptism this way, you can't become a member. So what about that might be acceptable when we don't have a Bible verse that would state that emphatically? Yeah. And look, there's some wisdom stuff that is involved. I do understand that. But I think that I just keep coming back to, if it's not a law, if it's not clearly regulated in Scripture, I just wouldn't elevate it to that level. And look, it's they can do that. And I wouldn't even say that that church is apostate. I'm not even thinking in those terms. But if that's their criteria, and you don't think that you need to get baptized again because you actually were baptized, well, then they're missing out on having you as a member. You got any ideas on this? Send it to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I heard a sermon on the sins. Heard a sermon on the sins we commit by omission and thought it was an interesting subject. Essentially, it made me wonder what sins that we all commit every day through inaction. Am I sinning because I have not visited widows and orphans in their affliction, as James said, or adopted children as Christ adopted us, or helped those in poverty, and so on?
Well, thanks for that email, Tina.
No, this is from Anonymous.
No, it's Tina.
Okay.
It's everything now is from Tina. Sins of omission, we commit so many of them because we are commanded to do all of those things. We are commanded to do as much as we can. Now, you can't do everything all the time. You can't. What you are called to is faithfulness. I think that's, if I were going to take all of the commands of the New Testament, visiting orphans and widows, feeding the poor, visiting the widow, all of you can't do just those three things. You can't do at the same time. You're not sinning. You're called to faithfulness. Those are encouragements to do those things. And I would say, especially at the heart level. I don't want to visit those old widows. Okay, that's a problem. But I don't think that you're commanded to do all things all the time. For instance, pray without ceasing. Does that mean you can do nothing else but pray? I don't think so. I think what it means is you should be a persistent prayer. You should be a regular prayer. It should be a pattern of your life. It should be built into the fabric of who you are as a Christian. But you can't possibly be doing it 24/7, or you do nothing but get into car accidents. If you're not praying and you don't want to pray and you're neglecting prayer, ask J.C. Ryle, who wrote, I think the book is called Do You Pray? It's very convicting. It keeps asking the question, a genuine Christian prays. Now, how much? How often? The answer is the Bible doesn't tell you exactly what the pattern is, because you get to work through that and grow in that as a believer, as the Holy Spirit convicts you and grows you and encourages you and strengthens you and teaches you how to do it. But if you don't have any sort of prayer life, that's a problem. That's a problem. So that would be a sin of omission, not giving to your church, and you could sin of omission. Now, what about worshiping God? I should be worshiping God all the time, but that's really not reality, is it? So I just as an aside, I understand that worship isn't just singing. But let's just say I never sing. I never do that. Well, then I'm omitting something that God wants me to be doing. This is sanctification. This is maturing in the faith. So don't feel overwhelmed by all of the things that you're supposed to be doing. Ask yourself this question instead. Am I being faithful? Or am I just being a lazy Christian? If that's the case, repent. This is Wretched Radio.